Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 7 Cents Cosmo podcast. Joining me, of course, is my good friend, Luis Zavala.
Hello, everybody. Luis Zavala here.
Yeah.
How are you, Simon?
I'm doing good. Getting excited to talk about the next episode of Saint Seiya.
Ooh, this is a good one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get on right to it. Episode 3,
right,
called Cygnus, Warriors of the Ice Fields. It first aired in Japan on October 25th, 1986.
Nice.
Man.
Damn. Time traveling. Yeah, it really is a time travel.
So we open up with Seiya. Seiya walking, you know, along the beach.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to hitchhike a ride with a motorcyclist.
A lighthearted moment here.
Yeah, lighthearted moment, which we're gonna warn you right now. You're not gonna see too many of that later on in the seasons.
It's gonna be rare.
Yeah, it'll be very rare. But it was basically like he was just, you know, trying to hitchhike a ride from the motorcycle driver, and then he's like, yeah, forget it, you're not gonna get on. And then Seiya's like, oh, really? And then, like, somehow, like, Seiya catches up with him, like, on foot. And then he just, like, kind of, like, jumps right behind.
Leaps into it.
Yeah. He's like, hey, can you take me there? I was like,
I'm like, wow, he really is a little.
Yeah. And then it's just, like, sometimes, I feel like, you know, I've been watching Saint Seiya for so long. And I kind of forget those comedic moments like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there are definitely, it's because as the series goes on, it becomes far and few between because of how the very hard left turn it takes, you know?
Yeah, and then, of course, he meets, and then we also see, like, the other kids from the orphanage.
The other, there are other orphans, I believe, too, if I'm not mistaken, right?
There are, but, like, these are the one that gets focused a lot more.
Yes, these ones are the highlighted ones, yeah.
Yeah. They're waiting for Seiya because Seiya is moving into a new place to live.
Yes.
And he lives in a empty yacht house for a 13-year-old. What?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, how did he get that deal?
I know. I was like, oh, well, that would explain how he got from Greece to Japan, you know?
Yeah. And I was like, and then, you know, Miho got him the place, kind of hooked him up. And I was like, what?
I know.
Even us, like, 36-year-olds and 42-year-olds, we can't even get a yacht house.
I wish I could have a yacht that I could sleep in, that I could stay in and call my own, damn it, instead of this place.
I was like, he's 13!
Wow, they grow up fast in Japan, apparently.
Apparently. I was like, I want to get a yacht house at 13.
I know, I would have loved that myself. Wish I could have gotten taken care of at that time, too, you know?
Yeah, and it's not like it's small, but it's like, that's like a... That would
still be independent, yeah.
Yeah, and also that would be like an average room for most people today.
Let's put it this way. Us in California wish we had a deal like that, okay?
Yeah, definitely. And after, you know, it moves away from, you know, Seiya's yacht house, we go to, you know, this ice cold place. And then we see the introduction of Cygnus Hyōga.
Yes. Hyōga.
Probably has one of the best battle cries in this series.
Definitely. And I have to make note right now, it sounds so much better in its original Japanese dub than it does in English. Yeah. That was predictable.
Yes, definitely. And first thing he does is he breaks the ice.
Yep.
To where... He breaks the ice because he is about to swim down to the far pits of that
ocean.
It's ocean, right?
Yeah.
To see his unfortunate deceased mother in a sunken ship.
This is the most beautiful scene in the whole show. I'll say my personal favorite is just the beautiful scene where he is paying tribute to his mother, his deceased mother. The cold water has stopped her body from decaying. So he has it decorated. You can see these roses and this music that's playing. Oh my goodness, just so beautiful. But you could see that this is an extremely, extremely, there's a lot of backstory to be had here, but all we're seeing is just a sunken ship, the deceased mother, and him crying while he pays tribute to her. It is a very emotional scene, and it invites more questions than answers so far, but also gives us a clue as to where the source of Hyoga's power is going to be.
Yeah. And he's basically saying goodbye to his mom because he's going back to Japan.
Yes.
Or actually going. No, yeah, he's going back to Japan.
Yeah. And then also he was, he's going back to Japan. Also, I think that this is where, it happens a little bit later. Sorry. So go ahead.
And, after he says goodbye to his mother, he see, this kid. I don't know. In Japan, in the Japanese, the Yako.
That was the name that was
in English.
Yeah, Yako as well.
Yeah. And then he promises Hyoga that he'll look after his mother.
Yes.
And then they go to the Eternal. We have that Eternal Ice Ridge.
Yes.
No, that's where the Cygnus cloth is hidden. And Hyoga, determined to break it. And then Yako was like, no one can break it. It's like, yeah, real motivator, kid.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's probably the only thing he needed to hear is like, oh yeah, watch me.
Yeah, and then of course, Hyoga, bam, breaks that Eternal Ice Ridge and gets the Cygnus cloth. Of course, always have that beautiful music while he's putting on the cloth.
Absolutely, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'd love, the soundtrack really is a big highlight in episode 3, for sure.
Yeah, and absolutely, and I do see some Christian symbolism in that part too.
There is.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot of tea posing. And there's also it's kind of like showing a lot of, there's a lot of Christ-like images that are going on there for good reason too. You know, it's just like they're really starting to show Christian symbolism mixed in with Greek mythology and really selling us on those two things, which ironically, they actually parallel quite a bit especially the way they formed it, like I said, it's actually a very refreshing thing to think that they were doing this back in 1986. They were doing this and we still can't manage to do something that cool right now.
I can't talk about now, so but we can talk about the past. Yeah. It's weird how Shogo's like, Seiya, I'm coming back, I'm gonna fight you. It's like, why is it only Seiya
that he picks? Well, yeah,
like, it's
whoa,
weird, right?
Whoa, it's like, what kind of vendetta is going on over here? You know,
it's like there were other saints with you, but yeah, like, Seiya, I'm going back to fight.
He singles him out. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, what did I do? Like, Seiya's like, what did I do? So that
he seems to be struck back himself too, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and then of course we see, the next day at the tournament. And kind of like opens up like this weird presentation with Sarah talking about, the constellations, the zodiac, and, the ultimate prize. It's kind of like
they're giving us the explanation as to what this tournament is in this scene, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of like if here in Southern California, we have like the Griffith Observatory.
Yes. Like, yeah, pretty much. Sitting, yeah.
It's like if you're watching a show there, it's kind of like that.
Yes, very much. They have a dome with stars and everything. It is literally that. Not even kidding. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. And then, they're waiting for the next fight to start, which will be, it was supposed to have Cygnus Hyoga in it. And then he'll be fighting Hydra Ichi. And then,
yes,
he hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he made it back to Japan. And then Jabu comes down and is like, oh, yeah, he's probably like chickened out, And then, Seiya finally realized, like, wait, you mean Hyoga is now the Cygnus Saint? And then, finally, the dramatic entrance of Cygnus.
Oh, yeah. The party has begun.
He's like, sorry, I'm late. And then it's like, I'm here. And then now Cygnus or Hyoga is going to fight Hydra Ichi.
Oh, I hate Hydra.
Why do you hate Hydra?
I wonder. No, the guy is just way too cocky for his own good. At the same time, even the way his art is, you look at him, you're like, oh, you're not going to convince me that he's a good guy right here. At least not in this fight, you know?
Well, to be honest, like these first couple episodes, we don't know who's good.
We don't know who's good or bad. That's no, actually
against
true.
The only one we know is Seiya is good. But
yes,
for all we know, any of these saints that he's fighting against are bad.
They could be really bad. And also, the one thing that they do get along, one thing they did get across very easily, though, these potential saints, they're all deadly. They can kill and they're very powerful. So nobody is safe. Again, that's something that I do love about the series, is that all bets are off, so to speak.
Yeah. So he fights Hydra, and Hydra's biggest move is his claws. His poisonous yes. claws.
His poison claws, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it took a few strikes on Kyoga. You know, kind of... I want to say he has the upper hand.
It but, creates you know, the illusion that he had the upper hand, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it kind of... Like, some of his claws, you know, went through Kyoga. And I think, you know... Hilga, like, not really impressed most of the time.
Yeah, not impressed.
Yeah, he's just, like, not impressed. Yeah. And then finally, no, Hilga's like, no, he starts fighting back. Like, he freezes Hydra's hand.
Yes.
Like essentially give him frostbite. So he can't.
Basically, yeah.
It's weird. He says that, you know, you won't be able to use that arm anymore. But then the next scene, we see him using the arm again because it doesn't really get. It doesn't look like he gets bothered by frostbite for some reason.
Exactly. It looks like he's still able to use it, probably in pain, but still using it.
Yeah. And then, you know, the claws are supposed to be poisonous, but the trick is none of the poison went to Hyoga because his claws is like... Ice shield. So yeah. None of the, like, it looked like the claw went through, but it didn't. Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a good question. Do you think that Hyoga was pretending that the poison paralyzed him and that's the reason he was reacting the way he was? Or do you think that that was something that was like, he was just making sure that the cloth was doing what it was supposed to do? Because I kind of feel like he was trying to pretend that he had gotten paralyzed by the attack just to kind of falsely boost Hydra's, I guess you could say, self-confidence to him.
Yeah.
Like, ha, 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 this poison's gonna make you die. And he says, like, die, I don't know how many times. Yeah.
I think at this point, he's trying to just look at his attack.
Oh, like you think that he's just hyper-focused on the attacks then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Strategizing.
Good point. Interesting. Okay, gotcha.
I just think that's how Hyoga works sometimes.
He's a very calculated person. Very calculated. So that does make a lot of sense.
I would say he's one of the most calculated person.
Very much. Like he has, he may not have quote unquote the plan, but he knows how to plan his and strategize his attacks. Yes.
Yes. From what I see. So I'm thinking he's just letting him like kind of throw his, let Hydra kind of throw his punches to kind of see what he has. And
yeah.
He's like, okay, I know how to beat you now. And
exactly.
Of course, he beats him using his famous, awesome battle cry.
Diamond Dust.
Yes. Yes. We can't do it. You know, props to the original voice actor in Japan.
No, he did it perfect.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Good job with doing Diamond Dust. Every time I hear it.
Always. I actually wanted to put that as my ringtone at one point. So yeah. Well, you know, funnily enough, let me go ahead and do a little critique here too. The English dub version of when Hyoga says Diamond Dust shockingly sounded okay. But the thing is that it doesn't have the same impact as when we said it. Like, it could be a bias where it's because I saw, you know, we've seen the Japanese dub so many times that we're used to the way that sounds like.
Yeah,
but there is something special about the way it sounded compared to here. Like when he says Diamond Dust, it sounds fierce. It sounds like it's a, you know, a scream, but not like the Japanese one just has this emotion in there. Like there's this very specific, like, I am the dominant one kind of a sound. He doesn't have to scream it for it to sound badass, you know?
I know, but it's just so badass.
It is. And anybody who's a Final Fantasy fan, much like myself, when I first saw Saint Seiya, when I saw Hyoga use Diamond Dust, well, anybody who plays Final Fantasy knows the character Shiva. When you summon Shiva, one of her attacks is also Diamond Dust. So yeah, like that's why I was like, oh, so that's what they did. But it was just like, no, it was all in all, this episode. Ooh, this episode just great.
I know. Absolutely great. And then, of course, you know, after the Diamond Dust attack, you know, Hydra gets defeated. His cloth is shattered.
Yep.
Completely gone. Pieces, completely gone.
Dust. Yeah.
Completely dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally dust.
He literally Diamond Dust Hydra's cloth.
Mm-hmm,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was gone. Hydra's defeated. I didn't feel bad for Hydra.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. You know, we are teased at the two next opponents, though. That's something that I thought was kind of interesting, because that's when we are teased that it's either going to be, you know, say, you know, Pegasus. It's either going to be Pegasus or Dragon.
Or Dragon. And I like how that last part ended, because it's like, yeah, so all three of them, like, right there together, kind of looking. Well, I wouldn't say they were all looking at each other. Like, the Dragon Saint was, like, looking somewhere else.
Yeah. They're all stoic, though. They all look stoic. Yeah. You know?
Like, I'm going to beat you down. This is like...
Exactly.
It's like WWE, man.
It really is. It does have that WWE, or like, you know, like during the WCW days, like the way I used to like back then. It's like they have a lot of smack talk going on, but they also have that stoicness that they do. Personally, after you see how bad he owned Hydra, it's like you look at it, you're just kind of like, damn. Okay, we've already seen what Seiya's capable of. Now we see what Hyoga's capable of. Now Dragon is a new one that we don't know anything about, and it's going to be interesting to see, does he share a background with these characters? Because like I said, this episode draws a lot of questions that aren't answered yet, and also to me has the best fight scene up to now. This one is my favorite fight scene, and also has my favorite scene period, which is just based on the art, is again that scene where he visits his mother, his deceased mother, in the shipwreck. I've never seen a scene like that in an anime before, or in a car, or anything actually like that before. It's very beautiful, very emotional, and the music that plays, oh my goodness, it's just worth for the soundtrack alone. Hell, maybe for one of the funeral videos I make, I might have to use that song, you know, because I mean, it is a really emotional song when you see that scene.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that for me.
Yeah,
that's kind of depressing, man.
Yeah. Well, that was the depressing part, but yeah, I'll say this much. This was probably my favorite episode up to this point. When we saw it the first time, that stood out to me. I was like, okay, this is cool. Also, I just love the power of ice. Power of ice is always, even in video games, power of ice is always my preferred. Right next to it would be fire. So
nice. Yeah. I think, you know, for me, it's definitely just an awesome episode with no Hyoga in it.
Yes.
And just
great beginning for him. Yeah. My goodness.
I like his introduction.
Yeah.
Definitely love Diamond Dust.
Diamond Dust. Yeah, that is the best.
And, you know, it's such a cool move that the soundtrack actually has a song called Diamond Dust. It's Diamond all Dust. About him.
Exactly. Is that he has his own
song?
Theme,
he has his own theme song, guys. Right?
That's what it's set. That's how cool it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, it's just like as a series, I think that even when I saw the first pass through, I was already interested with the first two episodes, but it was the third episode that made me kind of go, okay, I'm all in to see the rest of it. And keep in mind, I am probably not the target demographic for this, but yet I absolutely love it. And I could see that had I been introduced to this before, I know that in my younger life, I would have absolutely loved this.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
You would have, you know, like how much I did.
Exactly. I would have been a mega. I would have collected the toys. I would have collected any of the video games, any paraphernalia, probably had a few.
Please don't mention toys. Please don't mention toys. Because here's the sad thing. I did have one of them a long time ago. Yeah. And, you know, when you're a teenager, later on in your teens, you go through this weird phase.
Yeah. That odd phase where you make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. One of them, I threw them away.
Oh, painful. Painful. Yeah.
Along with a couple of Saint Seiya. Back then, like, there was like these wall scrolls.
Oh, I love wall scrolls. I used to have a few of those for like Final Fantasy. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I had two Saint Seiya ones and I threw them away.
Shame.
I know. Yeah. Don't even get me started with some of the the mangas.
Gosh. Yeah.
Get me started. If time travel was possible, I would go back in time to like, don't throw them away. Dumbass.
Yeah. Look, you know, with me, I definitely tend to collect things. And then even things that I collect, sometimes I'll take them out of, like, things that I really, really, really love. I don't ever plan on reselling. I'll take them out of the box and I just like put them right there. Like,
you're not going to throw away stuff. Like I have a Sagittarius.
Nice.
Funko Pop.
Yes.
I'm not going to throw that away.
No,
throw that away now. I'm older now, so I know better.
I know better too. Yeah, exactly. Just like there's, hey guys, keep a hold of things that you genuinely love. Cause I mean, honestly, you will live to regret it.
Yeah. You know, you might not love it. You might have lost some love to it right now, but when you revisit it later on in your life, you're going to be happy about it that you didn't get rid of it.
The heartstrings start to get pulled. Yeah.
Yeah, talking about strings, we'll definitely talk more about that in later episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. But overall, I definitely like this episode a lot.
Beautiful episode. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely one of the killer ones. And I mean, I think that this is one that most people will probably see as the most intriguing in terms of artistically. It definitely has some of the most beautiful cells in all of the shows. So I would love to know what people think.
Yeah, absolutely. So please leave your comments below. Let us know what you think about this episode. You know, what did you like? What did you didn't like? And if you do like this channel, please make sure to subscribe, hit that like button, follow us on Instagram. Our handle is at the 7 Cents Cosmo. You can also listen to this episode as a podcast format. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. So please take us with you on the road.
Exactly. And we guarantee that we'll ramble, but it could take you pretty interesting places.
Absolutely. But until next time, keep burning your cosmos.